Sure. Okay, Rabbi Isai. We're holding Daf Yud Dalid, starting from the Mishnah, approximately a quarter down the Amud.
Yeah, we got to the Mishnah.
Good. As you recall, in the first Mishnah, the Mishnah told us that 7 days before Yom Kippur, they were always Mafresh the Kohen Gadol Lelishkas Parhedrin. What did he do in that Lishkas Parhedrin? So it wasn't only the Lishkas Parhedrin, but for the full 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, so that he should have a total regilus, should be totally familiar with everything that he had to do on Yom Kippur, did a full blast rehearsal every single day, all the avodas that were done that day in the Beis Mikdash, or in the times of Aharon, in the times of the Mishkan. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Kol shivas hayomim, for the full 7 days, hu zoyrik es hadam, Umakter es aktoiris, umeitiv es haneiros, umakrev es aroish v'es harogel. Throughout those 7 days, he did what the normal kohanim had yoitim did on a daily basis. We haven't even gotten to the special avoidos that were done that day in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur, which involved the par and the soir, as well as going lefnai v'lefnim and the ketoiris. We haven't even gotten to there yet. Now we're talking about the daily run, the normal regular run throughout the 7 days, as you know, throughout the year, every single day. The first major avoida was the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar. Says our Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol, throughout the 7 days, he was the one that performed that mitzvah of the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar. Now, our Mishnah only refers to Zorek Es Hadam. He does the Zorek Es Hadam. It does not refer to the fact that he does the Shechita. It doesn't refer to the fact that he does the Kabbalah Sadam. So the Meforshim ask, why doesn't the Mishnah tell us that? Because obviously, the Shechita of the Korban always precedes the Zorek Es Hadam of the Korban. It's only natural. So now the question is, why doesn't that mention that in the Mishnah? So you could perhaps say that the Zorek Es Hadam is the Mechaper, and therefore the Mishnah is not going through every one of the aspects of the Avodah. It's only telling us the central, the main ones, like Zorek Es Hadam. But that's a bit so schwer, because afterwards it says, Makar v'saroish v'sarogel, and that's the Haktoris v'Eivorim, which of course is very important. But that's not the crucial aspect of the Korban. But then you can go and say that the reason why that's mentioned in the Mishnah is to tell you that he takes care of all the Eivorim, the Emurim, he puts on the Mizbeach, and therefore he even does that Avodah too. But still, why didn't it refer to the Shechita? Why didn't it refer to the Kabbalah Sadam? So one of the Mefarshim says a very, very nice pshat. We're going to learn in Yet Hashem on Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis in the Mishnah that Yom Kippur was different than every other day of the year in the sense that normally the person who did the shechita of a korban had to shecht it entirely. In other words, go through the two simanim properly the way we normally would do shechita. Throughout that time there is dam which is spurting out, so there's another kohen who's sticking around, and he's the one with the mizrak underneath the tzavar, underneath the mokum shechita of the animal, and therefore the blood is spurting into that klisharis, into the mizrak. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do both. For a Kohen Gadol to go and both shecht and do Kabbalah Sadam would be impossible. So, what do you do? So we're going to learn in that Mishnah, the Aflamed Aleph, that the Kohen Gadol, he started off the Shechita, did the Roiv, and instead of finishing it off, he gave it to another Kohen to finish off, and he immediately, the Kohen Gadol, went and took the Mizrak in hand to get all of the blood that was spurting out from the original Shechita that is now flowing, as well as from the second Kohen who is now continuing the Shechita. The Kohen Gadol is doing the Kabbalah Sadam. Now that's something unique to Yom Kippur that was not done throughout the year. So you couldn't do that on the 7 days pre-Yom Kippur, because pre-Yom Kippur you're supposed to do a proper full Shechita. So therefore, since he wasn't able to do that partial Shechita and the Kabbalah, that's why the Mishnah starts off with the Zorek Es Hadam. Anyway, but continuing on the Mishnah, Maktis HaKtoiris, as you know, although on Yom Kippur there was very, very special that you took the Ketoiris Lefnai V'Lefnim inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, but every single day of the year they were Maktir the Ketoiris. And therefore, he did Aktoris HaKtoiris outside, not of course Lefnai V'Lefnim. You're not allowed to go into Lefnai V'Lefnim on throughout the year, only on Yom Kippur. So he did the regular Ketores, and the regular Ketores, as you know, was done on the Mizbeach, which was inside the Heichel. That's where you do the Ketores. And he was made to the Neiros, which means that he cleaned out the Neiros, and subsequently he lit the Neiros. We'll talk about that more on the Amid base. That means that after they finished the Shechita and the Zrikas Adam, there on the base Mitzvah Chaim, they cleaned out the inside of the Karbonos, and in this case the Karbon Oila. By Karbon Oila, you have to go and do Hefshet V'nituach. Hefshet means to go and strip the outside hide from the animal. Nituach means to go and cut it into slices, but into very, very big pieces, not like small slices. And then you had typically throughout the year a number of kehanim that would go and take the various parts of those evarim and put it on the mizbeach. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did it all on his own, and therefore during these 7 days he also went and brought the evarim to the mizbeach. Parshat Pshat in the Mishnah, although it only refers to the Rosh and Rogel, it really is referring to all of the subsequent evarim as well. V'shar kol yomim, any other day of the year, imratza lahakriv makriv, if the Kohen Gadol wanted to go and do any of the avoidance of the day, he could do so. She Kohen Gadol makriv chelik parosh, the noitel chelik parosh. As we're going to see later on in our Masechta, in another few dafim, we're going to talk about it a little bit on the Amud Beis. On the average day, who decided which Kohen Hedyot would do the Avodah and that particular Avodah that day? After all, as we know, the Kehanim were subdivided into Mishmaris, 24 Mishmaris. And every Mishmar was subdivided into either 6 or 7 Vatei Av, and therefore every Kohen knew his day. 1 out of 25 or 50 or 100 Kehanim, they all did the Avodah on Sunday or on Monday or on Tuesday, whatever the base Av of their week, of their Mishmar. So, but who does the individual avoidance, such as who does the Shechita HaKarbonos, who does the Kabbalah Saddam, who does the Halacha Saddam, who does the Zerika Saddam, all of that was decided based on a pious. Pious, we would say, is a lottery. It's not exactly a lottery that you go and take lots out of the hat. We'll talk more about that later in the Masechta, how they performed that lottery. But the point is that was all decided based on a pious. If the Kohen Gadol came in one day, and he says, Rabbi Yisai, I want to do the Zrika Saddam. His desire to do the Zrika Saddam trumps and supersedes the results of any pious. Because the Kohen Gadol Makriv Chelek Parosh, he can go and say, I'm doing the Avodah today, any Avodah that he wants to do. V'noitel Chelek Parosh, he's also able to go and take the choicest portion from whatever the Kohanim are eating that day. For instance, if they're bringing a Karm Chattas that day or Karm Oshem that day, then as we know, the Chattas and the Oshem is eaten by the Kohanim, as well as the Choz V'Shoik of every Shlomim and every Toida is eaten by the Kohanim. So now, when you sit down at the table and you're eating from a large animal, that animal could have all different slices. As you know, if you ever go into a butcher store, or even if you go today into the big supermarkets that sell meat, you'll find that they have all different types. From a cow, you can go and get a rib steak, and you can get a shoulder steak, and you can go and get flanken, and you can get this and that. All different pieces of meat from the animal. So some people like rib steaks better, and some people like shoulder steak, and French roast, and white minute roast.
Lamb chops.
Lamb chops. Well, you don't normally get a lamb chops from a cow. If you did, that would be very, very strange. Yeah, but the point is, the Kohen Gadol can go in and say, Rabbi Yisai, I want that particular piece of meat, and he has the right, he doesn't have to ask any questions, he's the Kohen Gadol. Good. Zok Yimar, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol does all of these avoidas for 7 days pre-Yom Kippur. Now you'll remember we also learned already a number of times in our Masechta that every day of the 7 days, it's actually a machloikis, one man the Yomer holds only on the third and on the seventh day, the other man the Yomer holds all 7 days, there used to be maze, the mechatos, on the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was going to do the avoidah. They went every single day, and they were maza, they spritzed on him from the mei chattas. That's a big problem according to Rabbi Akiva. Because as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Akiva learns that famous idiom that people say, about the Paraduma, that it's metame tohoirim and it's metayer tameim. According to Rabbi Akiva, he extends that rule to a tohoir who was the subject of a spritzing of the mei chatas, a person who was totally, totally tohar. Baruch Hashem, he didn't touch any dead shrotzim, he didn't get into an oil hames, he didn't go and he was not a balkeri, he didn't go and touch a nevela, he's totally tohar, betachle satahara. And guess what? By accident, or on purpose, they went and spritzed on him the mei chatas, the paraduma. According to Rabbi Akiva, this person now becomes Tomei. If he's Tomei, he won't be able to do any of that. So I know you're not happy about that. Exactly, it's not fair. We're going to talk about this in another few lines in Yetzer Shem. But this is Rabbi Kiva's view. And since he holds that way, then according to Rabbi Kiva, after we spritz on him the Porah Aduma water, how is he able to do any avoidah? He's Tomei. Tomei is not even going to the base of Mekdash. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Man Tana. Who's the Tana Bar Mishnah? Om Rav Chizda, Deloik Rav Akiva. It cannot go in accordance with the view of Rav Akiva. The Rav Akiva, Ha Omar, after all, Rav Akiva said, Tohoir, Shenofla Olav Hazo'a, if you have a person who's Tohoir, and the Hazo'a fell on him, the word really is not Nofla Olav, he really means that someone spritzed on him the Mei Chatos, Tim Osoi, that caused that individual to be Tomei. If he's Tomei, hey, Chayav and Avoida, how can he do the Avoida Besvekish? If he's Tomei. Now, how do I know that that's what Rabbi Kiva feels? The sign is because we have a Braisa directly on point. In the Parsha of Parshas Chukas, which talks about the whole Seder Avoida of the Porah Aduma, Shteitot in the Pasuk, V'hizo HaTohor Al HaTomei. The full Pasuk we have in the Torah Ora Sholim, number one, V'hizo HaTohor Al HaTomei, V'yoyim HaShlishi, V'yoyim HaShvi, V'chitoi V'yoyim HaShvi, V'chibes V'godah, V'rochat V'mayim, V'toher Bo'arv. Aha, so it says over here that the Tohor has to be Mazer, he has to spritz, Al HaTomei, on the person that was Tomei. What's bothering the Gemara is, the whole parsha there is talking about someone that became Tomei, Tomas Mes. How did he become Tomei, Tomas Mes? Because he was an oil Mes, so he touched the Etzem, or the Kover, all the different ways that a person can become Tomei, Tomei Mes. And then it says, V'iza Torah Allah Tomei. The Chor, the words Allah Tomei are unnecessary. It could have said, V'iza HaTohoir Olav. That person that we spoke about until now, that was Tomei, have the Torah go and spritz on him. Why does it have to say Al HaTomei? And therefore says Rabbi Akiva, the Pasuk is telling you, when can you make a person who's Tomei Tohoir if he was originally Tomei? But if he was originally Tohoir, he's going to be transformed into a Tomei. Like the Pasuk says, V'hizah Tohoir Al HaTomei, Darshan V'Gemara, the fact that it says Al HaTomei and not Olav comes to tell you Al HaTomei, he becomes Tohoir. But if you're Maza Al HaTohoir, that Torah becomes Tomei. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. It's only Rabbi Akiva that holds that, because the Chachamim respectfully disagree. Chachamim oimrim, ein advarim alolu amurin, el advarim amekablim tumah. What the Chachamim say is the diuk of Rabbi Akiva, that it says, v'hiza hator ala Tomei, instead of v'hiza hator olav, is an excellent diuk. But we do not follow his drasha in terms of agreeing that ala Tomei tohar, v'ala tohar Tomei, but rather we learn something else. That the Pasuk is telling us that the whole din of Mechatas only applies to people and to things which are Mekabel Tumah. If you go and spritz Mechatas on a person or on a thing, not really on a person, but on an animal or a thing which is not Mekabel Tumah, you ruin it. Not you ruin it for the person or for the animal or for the thing, because they're anyway not mekabel tumah. What are you going to do? You're going to ruin the mechatas. What are you talking about? Mahi. Kidna, we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Parah. Niskaven lahazis ala behema. The person who is being maza mechatas for some very strange reason decided he wants to be maza, he wants to go and spritz on a behema. Vihiza ala adam. Baruch Hashem, his thought was ignored by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and instead, as he did his azor, it fell on a human being. So, that is the proper way to do things.
Tohor,
I'm sorry?
The one that was Tohor?
No. At the moment, the person is Tomei. So he wanted to go and spritz it on Behema. Behema, by definition, a Behema cannot become Tomei when it is alive. the animal can emit tumah after it's dead, if it's an aveilah. But when it's alive, a behemoth has no din of tumah. And by the way, the same thing applies to all living objects and things other than people. That if you have an animal, or you have a bird, or you have a creeping critter, none of them have dinim of tumah when they are alive. They only
all people are Jews.
But we're talking about people, not Jews, because every single akum midrabanan has a din of kizav in the chol devrayim, and so therefore they are mulei tumah from top to bottom. Okay. Each one of them is a zav. So niskav on the hazas al behema. If a person wants the maza on a behema, v'hiza al adam, and instead of going on a behema, he did it on the adam. We're not concerned whether the Adam became Tomei or Tohar or not. Let's assume that the person was Tomei, and now he becomes Tohar. Else is good and fine. What I'm concerned about is, what about the remaining Mechatos on the Ezoiv? Ezoiv is what they call hyssop, and you take that Ezoiv, that hyssop, and you go and dip it into a pail, into a bucket, into a container of Mechatos, and then you give a spritz. After you do the first spritzing, typically there's still some drops left on the end of those azoids. Question is, can you now do a second spritzing? Says the Mishnah, if the azoid still has some water left on it, Yishna means he can do it a second time on a second individual, because that water has not been spoiled by the fact that it went on the Adam, because that Adam is Ro'oi Lekabel Tumah. However, Niskabel Hazas Adam, if his kavanas were great to be maza on a person, however, he had a very bad pitch, Behiza, and instead the Hazor went on a Behema, since the Behema is not Ro'oi Lekabel Tumah, it passels the water that remains on the Ezev. And Yesh Be'ezev, if there's any water left on that Ezev, Lo Yishna, he should not repeat and do another Hazor. Rather, he has to drain that water, dry it off, and then you can start with brand new water from the pail or from the container and do a new Hazor. So therefore, what the Chama learning from V'hiza Torah al-Tameh is, make sure that you're being mazeh on a person that is ro'oi lekabel tumah, as opposed to spritzing on an animal, because you spritz on an animal which is not ro'oi lekabel tumah, it spoils the water which is still left on the Esav. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. You mean the Efer Apara?
The Mechatas,
in which the Efer is, that's correct. The brother Shai is telling us, why does it possible? I'm sorry?
The vote, I guess, is you're cooling down the behemoth, or you're doing it, or just...
I don't know if it's to do with cooling off anything. The fact that you're using this for non-sacred purposes, that goes and causes it. It's like an imi'ila. That's such a concept.
It's the water that's remaining on the hyssop grass. It's not the water that's ricocheting off the puzzle object.
Absolutely correct.
So it's not about it's about the water that you dipped is were mechuber, as it were, halachically, to this water that incorrectly spritzed a recipient.
All right, this is 100% correct. So let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi in the middle of the Amud says Gemara. Skip to Alatame, two lines in. Alatame Tohar, Balatohar Tame. This is Rabbi Kiva speaking. And he's Alatame, Nasa Tohar. Then he's Alatohar, Nasa Tame. That's Rabbi Kiva, the Alatame, me Al Hatame, Yeseira, can farsh the come on, because the Posse could have said, Behiza Hator, Allah, and it says Al Hatame. That's why Rabbi Kiva learns that Al Hatame Tor, while the Torah Tame. Bechom Aimrim. Perfect. Bechom Aimrim. Al Hatame, Lidrosha Asa. I agree. Al Hatame is for a drosha. For Loima. She'ain Divrei Hazor Amurim. The whole inyan of spritzing from the mechatas is only bedvarim amekablam tuma. Avedvarim she'ein mekablam tuma, ein hazor hanitezes aleyan kruya hazor. That is not even called hazor. So what do you mean? You are called hazor. Nish called hazor. V'nafkimina shashirayim, the leftover mechatas on the ezev she'esh be'ezev shiorei psulihei. Instead of being shiorei tahara, these are shirayim of psul. And therefore these waters become now disqualified. Kidna, like it says in the Mishnah, which we just quoted, Yesh be'ezov yishna. Kloimar, ru'uyim hashiraim lahazis al odom shetzerach hazor. The waters which are left behind on the ezov, on this hyssop, those are still good. Why are they ro'i lahazis al odom? Because the initial spritz went on an odom. And even though his kavana was ala behema, forget about his intentions. Bottom line is, it went and hit an odom. He's roi lekabel tuma, so therefore the water that remains is kosher. Galeniskavin v'choyze v'shoyne ve'in terach lachzer lahadbel. Because of the fact that it went on an odom, we ignore his kavana v'choyze v'shoyne, and he now can do a repeat. In other words, give a nochash spritz with the hyssop, with the azot, and he doesn't have to go and put it again and toivel it back in the container. Use the remaining water on that hyssop. However, if by accident he went and was maza on a behema, says Rashi, lo yishne, that he cannot repeat by going and giving another spritz from the same water remaining on the hyssop. Why? The nifsalu b'malacha. It became possible b'malacha. That's what Brother Shai was telling us before. Da'azor shel behema, ein shem azolat, dosa nishka azor. V'havalu kimayim shenasa ben malacha. It's as if you took the water and you used, and you abused it by using it for a malacha instead of using it for hazah. His intentions were pure and great. In fact, he wanted to do it on an other. Abla Maisa went on a behemoth. That disqualifies the rest of the water. They become shiore psul, like Rashi said before. So therefore, we have a machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and we continue on. Zok the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva say that if you go and spritz on a tahor, he becomes tamei? Because it's a nichter rachman of izatar. Allah! The whole parasha there is talking about a person that became tummy as a result of a mace. Why did the pasuk have to tell us these are tor al ha tummy? Of course, al ha tummy. My al ha tummy, shmami, no. Al ha tummy, tor. But if you spritzed instead on a tor, he becomes tummy. That's how Rabbi Kiva went. Rabbanan, hi the dvar ma'makam tum hudiyasa. They agree with the diuk, in other words, the inference, the fact that the Torah says the extra words alatame instead of saying Allah, they agree, but they say that that comes to say the din of dvar ma'makam tum, like we learned until now, that you have to make sure the hazor hits a person and not hitting an animal. Aval halcha, in the case of Rabbi Kiva, kal v'chaymer hu. What Rabbi Kiva says defies normal logic. It's a kavuchaymer. Im ala tamei tohar, if this mechatas hit a person who is tamei, and it makes him tar, ala tar leikolshken, if anything I would say, if you go and spritz it on the tar, he should at least remain as tar as he is, if not become more tar. I mean, it's almost like saying, if you have a person who's tamei, he goes to the mikveh, he comes out of the mikveh, he's now tar. Okay, he's tvul yoyim, herif shemesh, but he's tar. Have now a person who's Torah, have him go to the mikveh. Oh, sorry, you were Torah until now you become Tameh. Because that defies logic. Why should that be? So that's what the Chacham asking Rabbi Akiva. Madach, if the Hazor goes on the Tameh, he becomes Torah. Al Torah, the Koshkin, he should certainly at least remain Torah, if not become even more Torah. So Timur of Rabbi Akiva, Hayin Tekom Shloima, says Rabbi Akiva, don't you know the famous Pasuk? Zuk Shloima Melech, Amarti Echkoma, I thought I was smart, and as I go deeper and deeper into Paraduma, I see that it's further and further distant. No way of understanding how Paraduma works, because it's a choik which we do not understand. So, everybody knows that's the essence of the Paraduma, and that's why people always say, holy cow, I can't understand it. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, this pasuk that you just quoted of Shlomo Melech is appropriate vis-a-vis Paraduma, but not in the way that Rabbi Kiva is applying it, but rather Ahu Lamaza Ulamazan Olav Tohoir Vinoygeya Behenis Tame. Rather, this Amarti Yechkam of Yerchoikimi many, that you have the Metame Tohoirim and Metahir Temeim, is not in the case of Rabbi Kiva that someone was Ma. If a person is a Mazan Olav, if he is the recipient of the spritzing of the Paraduma, Avadis Tohar. Whether or not he was tummy before, whether he was tar before, of course he is tahar and he remains tar, no problem. So both the mazah, both the spritzer, and the mazin, all of the spritzi, the person that did the spritzing and the person that, who is the recipient, both of them are tohar, not like Rabbi Akiva. That the Rabbi Akiva said, yeah, but it's also metame tohoinim. That's in the case of the Nogeya Behen. Someone who's touching the Meichat says, what are you touching it for? You become tame. Hazoi.
He's not actually carrying it.
Very, very good. What Brother Shai is telling us is going to be the maskana sagimara, but at the moment the Gemara is assuming the person who just touches the mechatas, he becomes tamei. Zok the Gemara, umaze is tor, the person who spritz it, he remains tor. Baksim, let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, umaze mehanida, maze means the one who's spritzing, yechabes begodav. Not only is he tameh, it's such a pervasive, such an intense form of tumah, that even the begodav that he's wearing become tameh. And you just told me that the maze is tor. That my maze, that it said in the pasuk, maze mehanida, yechabes begodav, is not talking, as we understand it, literally. It means nagir, the person who touches the water of the mechatas. But that's not accurate. Because look at the pasuk itself. And now we have the benefit of pasuk number 3 here on this side. This is a choik. And now note the next few words. The one that is spritzing, he has kibbutz begodim, he has a din to go, and not only is he tum, he has to go to the mikveh, but also his begodim have to be toivled in the mikveh. Oh, if you're going to tell me that maze means nogea, so then, if anything, I have a double loshen, I have a repetition. The maze becomes tameh, and the nogea becomes tameh. So the way you learn the pashim shat, very simple. The maze is the spritzer, and the gear is the toucher, and therefore the Torah has to tell us about both of them that they become tameh. But now that you're telling me that maze means negea, so then we're repeating ourselves twice. It's just repetitious. But it's not only that we're repeating itself twice, there's also a difference in halacha, because it says the maze is a chabez begodav. It's such an intense form of tameh. Not only he becomes tameh, but his begodim become tameh. You have to put them in the mikveh. The person who only touches it, yitman arf. Only he becomes tameh, but not his begodim. So in fact, there's a difference. So how can you go and say that mazi means nageah? Number one, it would be duplicative. And number two, it's inconsistent in halacha. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Frank Gemara, we just said now in the pasuk, v'hoksiv. So it says that the maze becomes tamei. Everyone, my maze means the nogea, the person who touches it. Voxin maze, voxin nogea. Void maze boy kibis begodim, nogea loy boy kibis begodim. So therefore, it's difficult to say that the maze means the nogea, because it would be both redundant as well as inconsistent in halacha. And therefore, ela my maze, and this is what we heard authoritatively just a minute ago from Brother Shai, that we didn't mean the gear, we really mean noise, the carrier. Oh, so now the pasuk is very good. When it says, we're talking a person who's carrying the meyandida. He's the one that carrying the container with the mechatas from place to place to place. That carrier, he becomes something, not only him, but also his begotten. And again, a person who just touches it, he doesn't become tummy tumas begotten. He only gets tummy out of earth.
What's the difference between carrying the blood and touching the blood?
I mean, it's not blood, it's water. It's water mechatas. But the question is, what's the difference? The difference is that the Torah is telling us, according to our Gemara, that if you're carrying, I'm holding here mechatas in this cup, then I become tamei, and not I'm becoming tamei, but I have to take my tie and my shirt and my suit, and we have to put them all into the mikveh because they all became tamei. However, if I just touch the mechatas, if I just touch the mechatas without carrying it, then I have to go to the mikveh, but not my begot. Yes, David.
It's been bothering me from the beginning of the sukkah.
Yes.
Rabbi Akiva's position is that since the Kohen Gadol is being spritzed with mechatat, he can't do avoda.
Correct.
So how is it possible?
That's the most kasha.
You're not saying that Kohen Gadol gets spritzed with mechatat.
I'm sorry? How do you know that we spritz him with mechatat?
How do you know that Kohen Gadol gets spritzed with mechatat?
That's a very, very good question. How do we know it? We've had it already a couple of times until now. Let's see if we can try to quickly put our fingers on it, where we've had this until now, that you have to go and spritz him with the mechatat. Let's see. Bear with me one moment.
The
third day, the seventh day, the Shabbos.
Exactly. It shouldn't take me more than half an hour to find it, but please bear with me just one moment. Hopefully we can find it, and it shouldn't take too much time.
But it's not mentioned in the first mission either.
No, it's not mentioned in the first mission. If you'll be so kind and so gracious, please go back to Dalid Omud Aleph. Dalid Omud Aleph. You'll notice we have here on the third line from the top of the Omud. Third line from the top of the Omud. You have that on Dalit Omud Aleph?
Yep.
Disanya, we learned in the Braisa. Zeh, the Zeh, Mazen Olav Kol Shiva. Who is the Zeh v'Zeh? If you look at Rashi on the third line, Zeh v'Zeh. Kohen to Yom HaKippurim, we mean the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen de Pora, the Kohen who's going to burn the Pora Aduma in 7 days, Kol Shiva Yemei the Hafrasha, throughout the entire 7 days, both in the case of our Kohen Gadol and our first Mishnah that we segregated and sequestered in the Lishkas Sanhedrin, every one of those 7 days, Mazin Olav Kol Shiva, we go and spritz on him from the Mechatas. Like the Gemara continues, Mazin Olav Kol Shiva, mi Kol Chatoi Shoyusham, from the Pora Aduma water that was there. The reason why they did it, the Gemara is either because we learn it from the Miluim, because there it says in the Torah that every day they spritzed him. There they didn't spritz him with Mechatas, they spritzed him with the dam of the Korbanos. And the Gemara says in another two lines that Nichnes Mayim Tachas Dam. Or according to Maniyama that learned from Sinai, the Gemara said it was a Mala Ba'alma. We want to go and be metayer, even with greater Kedusha and greater Tahara, the Kohen Gadol. So,
thank you, I had forgotten.
No, no problem. I forget about these things all the time, so it's good to have a refresher. So, getting back to our Gemara, now that we have established that the Kohen Gadol, during the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, every single day we used to go and spritz him, with the exception of Shabbos and the Yom Revi. Yeah, yeah, Emes. But normally we spritz him every day. So how can he go and do the Avodah? He is Tamei. That was Igmar's Kasha, and that's why the Igmar says, L'choira and Mishnah Dodin Shtem Loit Rebbe Kiva. I guess getting back to what we're discussing at least in the last few moments, remember the Chacham disagree with Rebbe Kiva, and although they agree in concept that there is this halacha which is totally defying logic, but it's a choik, and that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu told us, and therefore with our emuna and bitachin, we know this is the Dvar Hashem, that it is metayer tameim, and it's metame tahorim. In which respect is it metame tahorim? Says our Gemara, Aliba de Rabbanon. Until now we assumed that it was the nogea, the person that touched the paradum water. He is tahor. He touches the mechatas, and he becomes Tamei, and that is what we assumed was the definition of the Mazei Mehanid Yechavis Begodav. But the Gemara said, no, that cannot be. It's rather the Nosei, the person who's carrying, if he's carrying the Mechatus from place to place, he becomes Tamei with an intense form of Tumah that he has to go and do not only Tefillah in the Mikvah, but Kibbutz Begodav. Masha Enkin, the Nagia, the person only touched it, he becomes Tamei, but not his Begodav. So that's what. So now the Pasuk works beautifully. When it says, Mazeh me'anidah yichabes begodim, we don't mean Mazeh, we mean the Nosei. Mm-hmm. He has kibbutz begodim. When it says, Vanagea, we mean Taka the Nagea. But the obvious question is, Rabbi Yisai, if the Kodesh Baruch Hu meant to tell us the halacha of the Nosei, why does the Torah refer to it as the Mazeh? Only to cause us potential confusion. It says Mazi, the spritzer. It doesn't say the carrier. What's going on? And that's the Gemara's Kashana. Frank Gemara, v'nichtoiv rachmana noisei. If that's what Hashem meant, let it say in the Torah, v'ha noisei meha nida yechavis bekotam. My time exceed Mazi. Everything will come. Hashmulan, debeinen, shiur hazo'o. It's coming to tell us the that the Nosei is only going to become Tamei if the amount that he is carrying is the amount of spritzing. In other words, if he's just carrying a mashahu, a little drop, he's not going to become Tamei. Only if he's carrying a shir of azar. That's why it says the word.
Shir of
azar. Oh, 1 second. We're not finished yet. Don't just jump up at one time.
Don't get nervous.
Exactly. If you hold Azor requires a shear, then that's good. That's why it says Mazeh instead of Nosei to tell us the shear. If you hold that the Hazor in fact doesn't require a shear, you only need a little drop. So then why again does the Torah use the expression maze when it means no say? You cannot say no say means to tell you that there's a minimum shear. There is no minimum shear. Ain't tricha shear. So Michael Amayma. Everything when I fill them on the Yamazo ain't tricha shear, hanimili agavadich gavra. That's only in terms of how much of the mechatas has to land on the body of the recipient of the spritzing of the mechatas. There even of a mashu, a drop. Boom, he's taught. Al the mana in the original container in which you are dipping the azoiv to get some of the water to give ashprit, that's shricha shir. You do need a shir. Now the question is, how much is that shir? Did not kama yehei behen vihei kidei hazor. What is the minimum that you have to have inside the mana, inside the container, so that it should be a shir of kidei hazor? Kidei shiyidfoy roshe givoylen biyadze. Enough that you go and dip in the hyssop, the azoiv, and then that you give ashpritz, and then the at least a drop falls on the recipient. Look at the top Rashi. Kaloimar, the amount is kidei shiyadbilen behen tvila. There has to be enough residue of water in the container so that when you dip in the azoiv becomes wet, and although the azoiv typically would absorb a drop, but the good news is there's still more left than that drop. There are at least 2, 3, 5, 10 drops of the water, so when you dip it in and you give a spritz, at least one of them is going to hit an individual. So whatever that shear is, the Gemara does not share with us what the shear is, but let's assume that that's 5 drops of water, maybe it's a half an ounce, maybe it's an ounce, whatever that is, if the person is carrying that half an ounce or an ounce inside a cup, inside a container, the nosei becomes tameh. And that's the reason why the Torah refers to the nosei with the term of mazeh, because it has to be enough water inside the container that a maze can toivel his azoid to bring up water to be able to spritz on.
So theoretically, the amount that's in the container, what you're dipping in that, can be the exact amount, unlikely, but so that's all you need.
Yes.
That's all you need. The amount that is needed for a spritz by dipping and giving a spritz, that would be the minimum shear for purposes of. I don't know what it is, but we'll soon find out.
And yes. Another question. But in terms of the afar, I assume they just had they only had 8 paradumas, right? So they didn't have it in water. They had just the ashes, I guess. And then they added.
As necessary, they would take some of the ash and they'd add mayim chayim.
So the question is, how much ashes you had to add? But that was also just a mashu?
I believe so, but again, you have to.
So you there's a whole mesechus
part of it. Part of the thing, 13 prokim. There's a lot of discussion about all of these types of issues.
Okay.
Abaye Omar. So Abaye is going back on the original point of the Gemara. What was the original point? This is what David Fishman was sharing with us just a moment ago, that the Gemara said that our Mishnah cannot go in accordance with Rabbi Kiva. Because since Rabbi Kiva says that if you spritz on a tohor mechatas, he becomes tameh, how is the kohen going to go and do the avoida these 7 days? And our Mishnah says he does the avoida. Is the chassim and the Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Kiva? Abaye says, no, Abaye Amar filatayim and Rabbi Kiva. We don't know based on the Gemara Dav Dalid or Dav Ches when they did the Hazor. Who says the Hazor was the first thing in the day? Maybe that was the last thing in the day. The Ovid Avoida Kuli Oima. The Kohen Gadol did all the Avoida starting from the Karmen Tamid, the Tamid Shol Shachar, and the Ketoides, and the Tamid Shol Bein Aboyim, and everything in between. And now it's already 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He's already done the Haktoris Eivorim, the Haktoris Aymerim. He's taking care of everything. He's pretty tired out. And now he's waiting for the Mazeh person. The Mazeh person comes in, spritzes on him now from the Parah Aduma. Says Rabbi Kiva, oh no, he became Tameh. Fine, no problem. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go Toivel in a mikvah. He still has an hour or two until Erev Shemesh, and he'll be at Tvul Yoyim for a couple hours. And yeah, Erev Shemesh, and everything is fine. Madu means a spritz on him, like mazi olay. But he's taught very simple answer, so you don't have to disqualify Rabbi Akiva as the Tana of our Mishnah. Good. The next shtickle gemara from here to the bottom of the Yomid onto on the Yomid Aleph of tomorrow is very, very straightforward. The gemara is going to examine the order of the various avoidos. And our Mishnah, since it says that first he did the Zrika Saddam, and then he's Makta Victorious, and then he's Meitav Saneirois, says Yomara Alma Ketoyus Pareisha. Since the Mishnah gives us that order, unless you say Lav Dafka, but you don't want to say Lav Dafka, so presumably we're going in order. So obviously the Ketoyus comes first, and the Hatovah Saneirois comes second. Hatovah Saneirois means to go and clean it out, to prepare it for the kindling later that day. Okay, so Alma, since it says Ketoyus first, Meitaneirus second, it's Ketoyus Bereish, well, the Neirus. Frank Gemara Minu, but I have a Mishnah in Masechtas Tomid, which they don't the Mishnah, Misha Zocha B'dishun Mizbeach HaPanimi, Umisha Zocha B'menoida, Umisha Zocha B'Ketoyus. The Misha Zocha means that there was the pious, the lottery that we spoke about before, so then there was one individual that was Zocha to do the Dishun Mizbeach HaPanimi. Dishun Mizbeach HaPanimi means that every single day, they had the Ketores being brought and being burned. That's the incense was burned on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And after the incense was totally went up in fire and in smoke, there was always some ash left over. So there had to be a Kohen that would go and clean off the ash. So one of the piouses was, one of this lottery was, that one Kohen would be Zocha in the Dishon, in that cleansing of the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And there'd be another one that would be Zocha in the Menorah, cleaning out the Menorah. And there'd be another one, Misha Zocha B'Ketoyus. Now what do we see from this? That it seems that the order in that Mishnah is the opposite of the order in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah talks about Ketoyus first, and then Meitav HaSaneirois second, and there it talks about in the other order, Misha Zocha B'Menorah first, or Misha Zocha B'Ketoyus second. If it was consistent with our Mishnah, it should say Misha Zocha B'Ketoyus, and then Misha Zocha B'Menorah. Rav Huna, man tana tamid, Rav Shimon isha mitzvahu. Rav Huna said, it's not a stira. Our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbanan, that's the majority view, and that Mishnah, Masechtas Tamid, is going in accordance with Rav Shimon isha mitzvah. Now, where do we take this Rav Shimon isha mitzvah from? So Rashi points out that Rav Huna heard that Rav Shimon isha mitzvah expressed his view regarding the order of the various avoidus in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he put two and two together, and he assumed that the Tana of Tamid, which the Masechtas Tamid deals to a very large degree with the order of the avoidus, since he heard that Rav Shimon isha mitzvah had expressed his views about this subject, he just assumed that Rav Shimon isha mitzvah was the Tana of Tamid, although he didn't really have any other evidence that that is the case. But we heard just the opposite. What do we mean just the opposite? And we continue back in Masechtas Tamid. Titnan, which they taught in the Mishnah. Bo loy v'ker mizrachis tzifoynis, noisin mizracha tzifoyna. Marovis droimis, noisin marovis droima. We're talking about the Zrikas Adam of the Karman Tamid in the morning. A Karman Tamid, as you know, is an Ola. Ola, how many hazois do you have to do? How many Zrikas? Shtayim shein arba. Now what means shtayim shein arba? Did you go to the Mizbeach and you find the Mizbeach where you have the Yesoid down below, and the only, well, let's talk about the, not all four had Yesoid down below, because as you remember, on the Mizrach Vant, the Mizrach wall of the Mizbeach, he only had one Amma all the way Lamala. The rest of the Mizrach Vant didn't have any Yesoid. Then you go to the Dorim also had only one Amma, but that was all the way in the southwestern corner. So in the south eastern corner, neither the east wall of the Mizbeach had Yesoid, nor the south portion of the Mizbeach had Yesoid. So you couldn't go and throw the blood over there, because whenever you throw the blood, there's supposed to be Yesoid down below. And since we want to accomplish two Zrikas that cause there to be blood on all four sides, so have the Kohen go to the northeastern corner, that the northeastern corner give a spritz, and therefore it's going to have blood both on the northern wall and on the eastern wall. And now he's going to go perpendicular on the other side. He's going to turn left. he's going to go to the northwestern corner, but ignore that. Go down the whole western side of the Mizbeach, now get to the southwestern side. And there he's going to do another spritz. And therefore the blood is now going to go both on the western wall as well as the southern wall. Now all four walls have been covered. And that's why it says, the Mishnah Bola Lekeh Mizrachas Tfoinis. Noise means to be Zoidek on Mizrachas Tfoinah. And then he goes to Maravis Drayim, is the southwestern. Noise Maravis Drayim. Shalom Yisrael, this is a Gevaldik Mishnah, everything is fine. And by the way, this is not just by the Karban Tamid, but all oilos that were brought throughout the day. V'tani Allah, but in the Braisa, we have Reb Shimon Ishmael HaMitzvah, the one that we just quoted a moment ago. He's Mishane B'Tamid. Tamid is different than all the other oilos. You're wondering, Man Nishtana, why is it different? We have a Pasuk, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But if you're wondering, how is it different? Oh, Zokta Braisa. Mizrachas Tzefoynes, Noisa Mizrachas Tzefoynes. That part, says Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, I agree, not 100, 1,000%, the Mizrachas Tzefoynes, Noisa Mizrachas Tzefoynes. That's not a problem. But now when he's turning left, and he's getting to the western wall, Marobas Tzefoynes, instead of waiting until you come all the way to the corner and doing one zrika of Echad Shehein Shtayim, rather, Noisa Marava, put blood, spritz blood, onto the western wall. The Yachakachim, when he turns the corner and he gets now to the southern wall, the Yachakach Noisim Droima. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, it's not Shtayim Shehein Arba, it's really Sholosh Shehein Arba, because he did one at the beginning, two later on. Again, why? That's going to be Mitzvah tomorrow. So what do I see clearly from this? That Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah is not the Stam Tana in Masechtas Tamid, because the Stam Tana Masechtas Tamid, remember we start off Titnan, there's a Mishnah, you're supposed to do Shtayim Shein Arba. But Tani Alon the Braisa, Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah disagrees with the Mishnah. So apparently he's not the author of the Mishnayis in Masechtas Tamid, because if he was, then he's just being Soser himself. And therefore says the Gemara, Elo Om Reb Yochanan, it's the other way around. Not that the Tana in our Mishnah is the Rabbanon, and the Tana of the Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid is Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, but rather Mantana say the Yuma, who is the Tana of our Mishnah, and the other Mishnayis that deal with the question of the order. That's Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So our Mishnah is Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, and the Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid is somebody else, it's presumably the Rabbanon, where Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah in the Braisa argues with that Mishnah. Now, one second. How could our Gemara make that boo-boo, that mistake, to assume that initially Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah was the Man D'Amar, the Tana of Masechtas Tamid? So if you look at the second Toisus here in the Amid, a small, short Toisus, Man Tana Tamid, Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, Rav Huna Kibel, Rav Huna had the Kabbalah to Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, Rabbanan Pligi B'Seid Ravoida. He knew from his Rebbes that don't think that this is everybody has the unanimous view. He had the Kabbalah, there's a Machloikis, Avaloyod Ahichas Firle, but he didn't know who holds what and what holds whom, so that's where his problem was. That's why Rav Huna at least initially thought that the Mishnah is Masechtas Tamid, that's all Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, and our Mishnah happens to be the Rabbanan, but we see that cannot be because Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah then arguing with himself, because in the Braisa he disagrees with the Mishnah, so therefore we have to say the Mishnah is over there, that's Rabbanon. The Mishnah is over here, that happens to be Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah.
It's a little bit strange because we always talk about Shem Shem Arba, which would be, I think, the accepted opinion of Rabbanon.
Exactly.
Sadas Yachas. So it's a little bit, I can understand why people wouldn't have thought that way.
What, you mean the Havamina?
The Havamina, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But the Maisa, the Maskan is good. Because in fact, the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, which is the Chayyid Rabbanan, they hold that the Tamid is no different than Oila, and Oila is no different than a Tamid. They're all exactly the same. Okay, there's Shtayim Shein Arba. It's only Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah that says, I'm sorry, by the Karm Tamid Shul Shachar, then it's different than your normal Oila. There you have three instead of two. And again, the reason for that will be a Pasuk Mishnah we're going to learn tomorrow towards the bottom of Tesvav Amid Aleph.
Say that again, so it was
a regular normal Oila. Right. Every single day in the Beis Midrash, they might have brought 10 Oilas, 100 Oilas, every one of the Oilas, everybody agrees, Shtayim Shein Arba, northeastern corner, southwestern corner, no dispute. The only dispute is the Gabi, the Tomid Shel Shachar. I didn't even know about the Tomid Shel Bein Aboyim. We haven't gotten to that yet. But Tomid Shel Shachar, what did Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah say? He says, no, look at the Lashon of the Gemara, that he's Mishana. V'tani Allah, Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, Mishana B'Tomid. He says, I agree with you, but your normal carbon Oila, yes, Shtayim Shein Arba. But by Tomid, then you have Sholesh and Arba, one in the northeastern, but when you got to the southwestern, you have to do first one on the west, then one on the south.
Okay, so it's the Rabbanan who were consistent.
The Rabbanan are absolutely, totally consistent. The reason why you're bothered by the list, because Rav Huna in the Havamina thought that the Mishnah is the Maseches Tomid is Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah. But even with that Havamina, remember that Tana of the Mishnah is pure. The Mishnah does not change from Tomid to Oila, from Oila to Tomid. All Oilas throughout the day, including the Karban Tomid, all are Shtayim Shein Arba. That's Tam Mishnah, that's Rabbanan, that's Talach. Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah only disagrees on the Karban Tomid Shal Shachar, and again we'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah, the basis of his Machlekes.
I'm saying the Mishnah is Mitzvah Tomid Arba Ben Yaakov, many times it comes up. Whenever we have any question about the Seder of the Avoda and the Beis Hamikdash, she says, "Let me have you Kavinaki."
And if that is the case, then that would be pursuant to the Maskana Sagimara. In other words, until now we had a Havamina of Shimon Isha Mitzvah. We're saying that's no longer. He's the dissident. He's the Braisa that argues. Now you're saying that the Stam Tana of Maseches Tomid is the Rebbeinu Ben Yaakov, and if that's the case, so since, as you point out, Rebbeinu Ben Yaakov Mishnas Kavinaki, so that would be the halacha. That would be Rebbeinu Ben Yaakov. It's very timor yet Virami said to you, Ma said to you. Okay, so we've already spoken for Mesechtes Tomid. Let's now talk about consistency in our Mesechta in Mesechtes Yuma. What is the Shaila? We're going to have a later Mishnah Mitzvah, another few days, and that's Chofei, which is next week. We stayed on the Mishnah. Pious Hasheni. They had four pious in every single day. Sometimes a pious had multiple sub-pious. Again, we're going to talk about this much more in detail as we go further in the Masechta. But the pious Hasheni, that's the second major pious. The first pious was for the Trumas Hadeshen. Now we get to the pious Hasheni. Mi Shoichit, Mi Zoyrek, Mi Medashim is Ve'ech HaPanim, Mi Medashim is HaMenoyrek, Mi Malivon HaKevish, and so on and so forth. A whole bunch of Kehanim all won or lost that second pious. And those that won were the ones, one of them was the Shoichit, and one was the Zoyrek, and one pious again means the lottery. Even today in Eretz Yisrael, as I'm sure you know, you can go and buy tickets in almost every corner and you see the pious. Yeah, Mifala pious. So pious means lottery, but it's not the lottery in the way we think of it today. It's a little bit of an elaborate procedure. We're going to talk about this further. Anyway, so the pious is Sheni. Who won? One coin won, he's going to be the Shoichin, one's going to be the Zoichin, one's going to be Menashe Mizbeach HaPanimi. They're going to go and clean out the Mizbeach. One's going to be Menashe and the Menoira, Mi Malei Vorem Lekevesh, etc., etc. Notice in this pious, we spoke about being Medashe and the Menoira, which is, like our Mishnah said, the Meitiv Es HaNeirois, the person who cleans out the Menoira from the residue from the previous day. And we didn't mention Keteris at all. But now we get to the pious Shlishi. This is the next pious. And then they declared Chadoshim Lak Toires Bo Vehefisu. A very, very interesting proclamation. Chadoshim means brand new Kohanim who want to do the Toires. Come and participate in this pious. The reason why they use this interesting expression is, as we'll see mentioned later on in our Masechta, that Toires had a special Sigula. Segula means there was a special, if you will, omen that a person who was zocha in the Ktores, he had a good chance of becoming a wealthy individual. The reason for that is because it says in the pasuk, "Yesimu Ktores bi'apecha v'chol al mizbechecha, baruch Hashem chelei ufoil yodav tirtza." Yesimu Ktores bi'apecha, person who brings the Ktores, v'chol al mizbechecha, and he puts it on the mizbeach. And now it burns totally and the incense goes up. The next passage says, Borech Hashem Cheloi, his chayil, means his possessions, will be gebenched, will be blessed. Obviously, everybody in this world, or virtually everybody in this world, would want to be wealthy if he had the opportunity. And therefore, every Kohen would want to be the one that's going to be makked in the Ktoiris, to have that special bracha, Borech Hashem Cheloi. And we want to limit the offering, and therefore we say, Kohen, if you've previously won the pious and you've been marked victorious, you no longer are qualified to do it a second time. Not that there's anything wrong with his personal qualifications, but we want to share the wealth, and we want new Kehanim to get the opportunity to bring victorious. So that's why we always use that expression, Chadoshim victorious. If you already had victorious once, Zagibench, Zagizin, stay home, do something else, but don't stand online here for the pious, for the curse. Anyway, what do I see from that? We see crystal clearly that the Dishon Haneiros, the Metivus Haneiros, preceded the Haktoris Haktoris. Yet, in the Mishnah later on, in the Mishnah we had in our Mishnah, which we just learned, it says Maktis Haktoris first, Metivus Haneiros second. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the Haktoris Haneiros, or is it the Ktoiris? Our Mishnah is quoted here on the third, fourth line from the top of the Omid. It says, Makhtiris Haktoiris, Umeitzis Haneiris. That's a direct quote from the Omid Aleph. So Ktoiris comes first. Yet by the pious, I see that they did the pious for the Dishon HaMenorah, the Hatovas HaMenorah first, and then they did the pious for the Ktoiris. And so you're going to go and tell me, yeah, well, the pious is one direction. It's not logical that they would go and do a pious for something that comes later on in the order. So we're assuming that the order of the pious is the same order as the actual avoid. Is the chastira. Om Rabbi Loikasha. Kan batoves shnei neiros, kan batoves chomesh neiros. Lememer de victorious mafsik lehu. What does Igmar mean to say? Every single day that they did the hatoves hamanoida, they didn't do all seven neiros at one time, but rather, first they were mativ five neiros, and then they were mativ the final two neiros. And in between there was a hefsik, something else was done, was brought, some other avodah in between the five and the two. Aha. Very often, and especially in the time of the first base, maybe just in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, it's typical that one of the neiros was still burning, and therefore the five had already gone out. They were already extinguished, and he goes and cleans them out, and he leaves those other last two, one of which was still lit, and one of which was also extinguished, and then he goes and cleans out the one that was extinguished, puts in a new ner, lights it from the other ner, puts out the first ner, etc. Again, that's not the discussion for today, but the point is, there was a split in the avoidas, cleaning out the menorah between the five and the two. Fine. So now, what is the Gemara give us as an answer? What the Gemara is saying is that both are correct. Both our Mishnah is correct, and that Mishnah later on, the pious, is also correct. Why? Because our Mishnah is talking about the final two neiros. You mark the sectoris first, and you clean out the final two neiros. Aha. The Mishnah later on, which talks about the two piouses, the first pious is talking about who's going to do the five of the Hatovas HaNeiros. Then the next pious is the Ktoiris. Man is going to do the Ktoiris. And now we come back to finish off with the last two. So therefore, both are correct. Depends on we're referring to the five or referring to the two. And the Ktoiris comes in between. Do you have a sitter anywhere near you?
The Kabbalahs.
Turn to the left. Turn to the left.
See? A boyish
or a perfect. Shkoyach. Even though this is an Ashkenaz Siddur, but in the Seder Kabbonis it's the same. Yeah, the one that has the English translation. Yeah. It doesn't mean great. She's just trying to make poke fun of me. But that's okay. We're on good terms. Anyway, it's fine.
This is
perfect.
This is great.
This is quoting the Mishnah.
Yeah, we're just quoting the Mishnah. Yeah. So says the Kabbonis that we learn every single day, those that say the Kabbonis. Abaya Mesader Seda Marocha Mishma de Gemara Balima de Abishol. Abaya is telling us the Seder the Marocha means the Seder of the Avodos, Mishma de Gemara, like we learned in the Gemara, but only according to Abishol. Abishol was the name of a very famous town. What does it say? First they prepared the marochas on top of the mizbeach, the big marocha, marochas mean where they put the fire for the kabbonis, and then the smaller marocha, the smaller fire, that's before they put down the two new logs, and the shnei gizri eitzim was before the disha mizbeach apanimi, that's before they cleaned off the mizbeach apanimi from the residue of the ktoris that was brought the day before. The disha mizbeach apanimi was kohen atov v'schom mishneiros. Oh, start listening, Rabbi say. That happened before the five neiros. Before you made them means you cleaned out the five neiros. But Tovas Chomish neiros took place, and that was Kredemus Ledama Tomid. Now, after they finished that Tovas Chomish neiros, now the coin would go and spritz the Dama Tomid, either two times or three times, like we learned before. After the spritzing the Dama Tomid, then Koin Latovas Shtei neiros, then they did the final two neiros. So we had the five, Zerikas Adam, and now the other two neiros. And then Batovish Tei Neiros, Kedemus Lektoiris, and Lektoiris now succeeded all seven, both the original five and the other two. Now this would seem to be at odds with what we're learning in our Gemara.
Yes.
Because we just said in the Gemara that between the five and the two was not the Zerikas Adam, it was the Lektoiris. And here we're saying that no, the Zrikas Adam came in between the five and the two, and after that was the Ketoret at the end. So we're back to square one. We have a kasha from the Stira in our Mishnayos. Our Mishnah said you do the Ketoret first, and then you make the Vesaneirois. And the Gemara wanted to give an answer. Yeah, that means the Ketoret in between, sandwiched in between the five and the two. It's Nishtamas. The Ketoret was brought only subsequent to the final two. Hatovish Teineirois Koidemus the Ketoret. That's the Gemara's question. What's the Gemara's answer going to be? That Raisa of Abaya, that myth, what Abaya was referring to, is Alibadir Abishol. Abishol is the one that holds that the Zrika Saddam was in between the first, the five, and the two. However, our Mishnah holds that the Ketoret was in between the two, because our Mishnah goes according to Rabbanan, and not according to Abishol. So that's the whole discussion for the next few lines. Zog Timar. Again, Omer Abaya, Loi Kasha. There's no kasha between the two Mishnayos. Kan batovish tein neirois, kan batovish chomish neirois, and the Ketoret was sandwiched in between. Remember, the Ketoret is mafsek lehu. Frank Timur Vabaya, Masada Seder Amarocha, Mishmei Di Gemara. What did he say in it? So, look up the Seder. Bedam atomim mafsek lehu. He said the Zrikas Adam came in between. That's absolutely correct.
Which we will learn just before Shavuos.
And Miyatz Hashem. And in fact, Lamed Gimel is Lag, so it reminds us that another few days will be Lag Ba'imah. And Lamed Gimel also is the same. Oisius is Gal. Gal Einai Vabitin Afloiz Meter Desecha. We look into the Gemara and we see all these beautiful, miraculous statements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we are dealing with on a daily basis. Anyway, so you shakoyach, David. So getting back to our Gemara, David is absolutely correct. It's not that it's the Siddur, but it's Daf Lamed Gimel. In fact, in our art scroll, Siddurim, it says, Yuma Lamed Gimel. So, in case anybody had any doubts, that's where it is. Yes, it's a Mishnah later on. Shakoyach, or it's a Gemara later on. Bai is a Gemara. Anyway, so continuing the Gemara, that you just quoted Abaya being Masada Marocha Mishmeidi Gemara, that's Aliba di Abishol, and that's why we say it in the Tefillah Aliba di Abishol. Mashen Kain, Hal Rabbana, but Amish is going to Rabbana. The sign we learned in the Baisa. Lo Yentiv Saneiros V'Achkach Yaktir. Don't do the Hatov Saneiros first and do the Ketoret second. Eli Yaktir V'Achkach Yaktir, but rather do the Ketoret before the final two. Dishon before the two Hatovas Aneiros. Abashol Oimer, no, mate first to all seven. The five, Zrikas Adam, and the final two, Vachekach, and after that, Makter. Oh, so that's Abashol, and that's Abaya, Liba de Abashol. My time of Abashol, what's the reason of Abashol? The citizen of the Possum. Baboiker, Baboiker, Beitiboyes Aneiros, Yaktirano. Every single morning, after Hatovas Aneirois, Yaktirana. Oh, says Yimor, V'hod Yaktirana. So it's very simple. It says in the Pasuk Befeirish. Do the Hatovas Aneirois first, and the Haktoris Haktoris number two. What did Rabban do with that Pasuk? That Pasuk is so crystal clear. Rabban and Mike Omer Rahmana, the Idon Hatovat Tehei Miktak Toires. What the Pasuk is telling us is not the order of first be made to the Neiris, clean it out, and then be makter, then go and burn the incense. But rather what it's saying is, at the time that you're being made of the neirois, the incense should already be rising, so that the person when he's cleaning out the menorah, he should already be the beneficiary of smelling this wonderful incense as it's going up in a nice smoke and a nice cloud, higher and higher and higher. It didn't come up in a cloud, it went straight up. Then after that, it started coming down. As we've learned in the past, that was the special Mala Oshem that the Beis Karmi, the Beis Haftinus, went and used when they were doing the Pita Maktoris. Anyway, so Mike Omer Achmona, be Idon Hatobet, hey, Miktik Toris. So not that it says Yaktirene, now be Maktir, but rather, whilst you're doing that Tovus and Eros, the Toris which you did previously a minute ago, you see that the incense is now rising and the smoke is rising as a result of that Torah that took place a minute ago. If you're not going to learn this pshat, let's go now to the afternoon. In the afternoon, we again have a second haktoris ktoris, because they brought the ktoris every day twice, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And although the dishon hamenoira, that's the hatovas hamenoira, took place in the morning, but the hadlokas hamenoira took place in the evening. And what does it say in the pasuk? Over halis aharnes haneiros ben arbayim. When aharon is doing the hadlokas haneiros in the afternoon, yaktirana, then do the haktoris, that second part of the haktoris in the afternoon. So Frank Timoriyetz, Hochinami, are you going to say Abishol? The Bereshim Madik Neirois. First you're Madik Neirois, because that's what it says. Bahal Vernis on Neirois. And then Bahal the Matik Toshul Ben Aboyim. Is that what you're going to say? Vachitim Hochinami, you say, yo. No, that's wrong. What Tanya, the Braisa we learned. We had this back in Masechtas Pesachim. It says in the Braisa, Me'erev Ad Boiker, ten lo midosa shetehe delechas velechas kol halayla me'erev Ad Boiker. Well, what is this pasuk? Again, if you look at number two, Torah Arashalim, Bo'il moi mechutz ha-paroich l'sher la'idus yarech oisoy, yarech oisoy. Remember the word oisoy. Yarech oisoy haran uvonam me'erev Ad Boiker lefnei Hashem chukas oilu deroisam. They had to go and set up and light the menorah me'erev Ad Boiker. Now, what does that mean, me'erev Ad Boiker? It means the whole night they were kindling the menorah? No. It means ten lo that means put in enough shemen prior to lighting the menorah at the end of the day, so that when you come back the next morning, you should find at least one or more of the neiros still lit. You put in enough oil for the whole night. That's one pshat erev adboiker. But there's another pshat. Dover acher me'erev adboiker. Ein lecha avoyde shekshera me'erev adboiker el azu b'vod. The only avoida that was kosher from Erev Ad Boiker, this is the only one that Tavis and the Hadlokas Saneris. Now what does he mean that this is the only one that's kosher from Erev Ad Boiker? That means that this is the very final. Not that the second, the Tomit Shulbein Aboyim is the final. That's the final karban. But the final avoida that was done every day in the Beis Hamikdash, except for Hector Chalav Mevar, which is called Alayla, but anything that had to be done during the day, like Hadlokas, that the buck stops here. After we finish the lighting of the Noira, nothing else. That's the Erev Ad Boiker. You can close the Beis Hamikdash, so to speak, to any further traffic, because we're done for the day. Me'erev Ad Boiker. Ah, so if that's the case, it comes out then that the final avoider was the Hadlokas HaMenorah. So you cannot learn pshat in that pasuk over how the Saharis and Eir has been abayin yat yirana, that after the Hadlokas HaMenorah you're going to do the Ketoiris. Elamaikom Rahmana, how do you learn that pasuk? You have to say, Be'idan Hadloka Tehim Mikta Ketoiris. That at the time that the Kohen Gadol is lighting the menorah, at that time the ketores is already rising because you were makter it a minute before, 2 minutes before. Hachanami, in the morning, be'idan hatava, when it said in the earlier pasuk, ba'boike mektivas aneris yaktirana, it doesn't mean that after the hatava you go and do the haktores ketores. But rather, b'shas, b'idan hatava, when the coin is being made to the menorah, tein mikta ketores, the ketores should already be rising from before. Chayder wouldn't have a good answer. Rabishol amalach, says Rabishol, shani hazim dichsiv oisoy. In the afternoon, it says, taka this extra word oisoy. B'oil moin mechutz ha-paroiches yasher al-eidus, yarach oisoy aron uvanam yarev ad-boike. That's a special din, oisoy. That one, you're right. That you don't have the haktoris ektoris post the hadlaka seminator. You first go and you mak the ektoris, and then you're madik the menorah, and the incense Baruch Hashem is rising. It's a beautiful smell, etc., etc. Wonderful reyach nichoyach before Kodesh Baruch. That's that pasuk. It says oisai, but not the first pasuk. The first pasuk is very clear. The tibas seminator is yaktirana. First the hatava, and then the ketores.
One's hatava, one's hadlaka. So it's not really. I mean, they're parallel. They're both working with the menorah, mm-hmm. But one is.
One is kosher bazaar.
Right, and then you can take the menorah to the other Yisrael, and the zar can light it.
Right, 100%.
So it's not really an avoda. It's a avoda with a small lowercase I and
lowercase suitable. But the point is, in both sukkim. The word yaktirena comes at the end of the order. Here it says behitiva saneris yaktirena. Here it says behala sahara saneris yaktirena. Okay. See, it would sound like, according to Abishol, yaktirena. Right. So that yaktirena should be the last step. But that's not true. Don't even you agree, Abishol, that the hadlokas haminoyah takes place after the third? Of course, I agree. But here it says oisai. Here it doesn't say oisai. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sainz.